A decade ago, bike fans from all over the world gathered at the grandstand start line as the first of a new breed of machine took to the TT course. Some watched with intrigue, cheering into what could be this new era of racing. Others, perhaps of the petrol persuasion, scoffed and were a little bemused.
Yes. The strangest sound you'll ever hear in motor racing, absolutely no sound. This is the TTX GP practice and qualifying for their big race before the senior race on Friday. They are essentially electric motorbikes. This could be the start of something very, very big. All they have to do is finish one lap. And it is weird and kind of wrecking my head.
Was it a gimmick, a sort of novelty nod to battery power, mysteriously crafted by Maverick engineers? Spectators and riders alike were wondering whether they should take these bikes seriously. But having been built on as the stage for international innovation and technological prowess, isn't this surely the next phase of the TT's evolution on the Isle of Man?
Trying them out on the hardest circuit in the world, but if they get round, it's a testament to whoever's put them together, you know, because it's not going to be easy to do nearly 40 miles on a battery, you know, so fair play.
Of course, fossil fuels are finite, and secondly, our source of supply doesn't exactly come from more stable and friendly parts of our planet, so anything that reduces our dependence on such energy has to be desirable.
It's been 12 months, it's been an absolutely fantastic journey. The teams who have travelled so far to come here are as excited as any bikers anywhere in the world. This is all about the racing, the dedication. These people have really turned up to the challenge and I just look forward to a fantastic day. Couldn't be better.
It whizzes along. You haven't got the roar in your ears. Just change the direction, like you're playing an arcade game.
There's none of that noise. Acceleration's not nearly as much, but nevertheless, like you say, it's history. And every now and then you think about that and you go, wow, you know, 10, 20 years, you look back at us and think, I was part of that.
And machine number one, Thomas Montano on the Mission Motors machine from the USA, is the first rider of an electrically powered machine to take part in an official race on the TT course. And we are now racing under green power.
First machine, that is 12 again. Certainly wasn't first away. It is a long way ahead of the others and it really looks pretty quick down here. Has no trouble at all getting up this hill away from us.
There's a machine into Ramsey now and it is number 12. It is Team Agni, Rob Barber. And again, it just slows down a bit. He's not the quickest away from the hairpin, but certainly they've got it sorted out that when it gets on the gas, as they say, or the battery.
The chequered flag is being prepared on Glencutchery Road and spectators are looking up this famous strip of tarmac and here comes the first machine to finish a TTX GP. It crosses the line now. This is the machine number 12 of Team Agni, ridden by Rob Barber, a joint development by the United Kingdom and India, and what a historic moment that is. Let me give you his times. These are the details which will go into the record books and live for a very long time to come. A lap time of 25 minutes, 53.50 seconds, and a speed average of 87.434 miles per hour.
Fast forward to 2019 and a Michael Dunlop win in the lightweights. His 19th TT title marks an end to petrol racing for the day.
Many congratulations.
Although they don't command the thrill of the traditional race, the fixture that is now the TT Zero certainly comes with a curiosity enough for these spectators to stick around.
It won't be too long before they'll be doing two lap races.
So on the TT schedule, it is something that you know you are interested in.
Oh, definitely. We're hanging around for that and hanging around for the racing later on. So it'll be great.
We are from the older. We are the older ones, and we mostly prefer the old one.
Petrol noise.
Yeah, petrol noise and some sound and something like this sort of thing. But it's also maybe it's a thing for the future. I'm sure that it's a thing for the future.
Are you a fan?
I wouldn't say a fan, but it is going that way. Fair bit to go yet before the mainstream, I suppose.
You know, it's 10 years of electric racing at the TT this year.
No, I didn't know that.
Do you think it's progressed much?
It's come on leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
It really has come on leaps and bounds to where it first started. I think where it first started, we struggled to break 100 mile an hour, something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, other than that, yeah. Still a long way to go yet.
To be quite honest, fuel's going to go out the window. I'm going to run out of fuel and be more electric. But I prefer the petrol anyway. I love the sound, the buzz. You can actually feel it in your bones and your body, and you're just all excited with the feel of it. It's more of a buzz.
I'm kind of a fan of it.
Yeah.
Because sound is like different. You don't have like the sound of the engine.
Yeah.
But for the motion, you definitely need the sound, because if you hear the sound, it gives you something like, you know, the vibration. You feel it in your heart. You feel everything. Like the power with the electrical one, you just rushing by. It's like kind of a jet.
Okay.
Going through, you know, like passing by.
Well, it's amazing, really, when you think about the first time you're doing just 90 miles an hour, and then you've got well over 100 and something now. It's actually amazing.
It might not come with the visceral experience for the crowd, that noise, that rattling of your rib cage, but what the zeros have on their side is history.
109.675
and 117.366
119.279 for John McGuinness. And let's just see what that speed was. 121.824 miles per hour through the 120 mile an hour barrier.
In the sense that of the 10 electric bike races so far, 8 of them have broke the lap records, with the current average speeds now topping the lightweight class. And for one of the teams involved, TT Zero recaptures the race's original spirit.
I'm Kes Scott, I am Managing Director of Cast Energy Technologies. Going back 100 years, people in the paddock with their bikes were tinkering them all the time.
The 37 and three-quarter mile circuit. They get away at intervals of 10 seconds, and it takes some hard pushing to start those high compression engines.
They weren't the fire-breathing 135 mile an hour products that we have right now, shiny, straight from the factory. They were doing what we're doing. They're trying to get the most out of the bike and just hoping they get round. So this is the essence, really, of where the TT came from. If the regulations change and we have to do more laps, then the bikes will develop. We'll develop some kind of battery changing system. We'll only build the bikes to what we're told is going to be the regulations. We won't go further than that until the regulations change. Then we'll perhaps change it.
This year, there's a hashtag that you guys are running on social media. It's called Run On Sun.
Despite the precarious weather conditions across the TT Fortnite in 2019, Duffy Motorsport became the first team in the Zero races to power their bikes solely on solar.
The batteries are full. It's still generating. The bikes are full. The bikes are full from the batteries and the solar generation, and we're ready to go.
After all, ACU's regulations do state:
the technical concept is for motorcycles two-wheeled to be powered without the use of carbon-based fuels and have zero toxic, noxious emissions.
They're very proud of the zero emissions racing tag, but if you're charging up from a diesel generator, you're still burning fossil fuels, so you may as well just have an engine in the bike. We wanted to be the first team that you could power the bikes in the paddock every single day for practice and race day, and we've done that. We've proved that it can be done. So next year, bigger and better. Who knows?
Another question: how do you charge your battery?
We have some quite sophisticated chargers, and we have a whacking great generator at the back that's providing the power that we need. So because we're running quite specialist batteries, and we have quite specialist chargers, we can charge a battery in an hour and a half if we choose.
So not quite zero emission then?
No, not quite zero emission. Not when the generator's out there belching out some diesel fumes, no.
Dominance is a word that would appropriately describe Team Mugen's success in TT Zero. Since 2014, they have consistently topped the electric pack, and so speed is definitely their marker of progress.
That is objective achieved for the Mugen team.
They're killing you through the speed trap. 176 to the speed trap. These things are coming on, aren't they?
You know, every time they go a bit quicker, something else changes. So it's a long way around that one lap, is it's surprising.
My name is Colin Whittemore. I'm a director of the Mugen Euro company in the UK. When we arrived, the lap record was 99.9 miles an hour. Now it's 121.8. Maybe tonight it will be something beyond that. So we've made significant progress, and obviously the technology has helped us with that. We've seen advances in our batteries, we've seen advances in our electric motors, in our inverters. So yeah, I think we've made good progress over the years, and if and when the electric bikes break 125 miles an hour, that will be another milestone, which will be equivalent to 2002 outright lap record.
And is that for you a milestone when is a point when these bikes start getting taken seriously?
I think we started getting taken seriously a few years ago when we were in the high teens, you know, 116, 117. I think people then realised that these weren't toys. These were serious bikes that people would want to get on.
It's unbelievable on a battery. It's incredible. Technology is going so fast.
The rider who's had five podium finishes with Mugen since he joined in 2012 is John McGuinness.
I had a great lot of fun out there, and to do 119, you know, I mean,
So what does the two-time zero winner make of progress in the class so far?
You know, I'll hold my hand up. I was sort of one of the guys, a few of us top road racers, all stood on the pit lane sort of laughing at some of these bikes that set off down Bray with that looked like washing machine engines strapped onto, you know, car batteries and things. But they've come a long, long way. And one thing that stuck out in my mind was we took the bike to a school near Peel, and we've taken Fireblades and Yamahas and all sorts of things to these schools, and they've seen a Fireblade, they've seen a BMW, they've seen an R1, but the kids had never seen an electric bike, and they were all over it. You know, they were wanting to know. It's a bit more like PlayStation sort of stuff. I mean, I wish I knew a bit more about it. To me, it's like witchcraft, you know. It doesn't make any noise but goes that fast. So, but yeah, I think it's gone way ahead. I think 122. I think they're in unknown territory now, you know. They're never... You know, they put these on simulators at different speeds, but you can't simulate the TT, bottom of Bagara, bottom of Bray Hills, and some of the punishment they get put through. But it's only going to get better. Batteries are going to get lighter. I'd love everybody to experience it. You know, the bike's incredibly smooth to ride. It's quite heavy, but, you know, I did 176 mile an hour down the Sulby Straight this year at the TT, and, you know, that is not hanging around on 260 kilos of battery and a fat Morecambe bricky sat on top of it. So it's a hell of a lump of hardware to be pulling around at that speed. But great project, lovely people, and, you know, them guys are way, way ahead there in the future, and they've got the heads up on everybody at the moment.
The electric bike is viewed as this machine with vast amounts of potential, which pioneers in the paddock will undoubtedly tap into in due course. Though for the solar-powered Team Duffy, performance forms just part of their vision for the electric class.
I'm Ryan Duffy, team manager for Duffy Motorsport. I think other teams haven't got in on the act because maybe they're just focused on the on-track action. And talking about the team ethos for Duffy Motorsport, it's very much about the whole package. Mm-hmm. So on the track, we're racing with the electric bikes, but we're trying to build up the ecosystem around going racing with electric motorcycles, that it will make it sustainable and make it accessible to other people. I think that's part of the reason the TT grid, the TT Zero grid, has suffered with such small numbers, is that accessibility isn't where it could be. So with Cast on board and our solar energy trailer, it's possible we can help unlock the potential of electric racing for more teams. And that kind of carries through what Duffy Motorsport do. We want to help grow the race. We want to get more people involved. We want to be with it when it happens.
Let's speak to Mike Norbury. Mike's off at number 7. Mike, this is a bit different.
It's like racing a toaster, isn't it? It's not as quick as any of the others, but like Ryan's done it all on his own, so you've got to say fair play to him.
Is it treated a bit of a novelty? As a novelty sort of race on the scheduling here? You know, it's a one-lap race. It's a whirring machine. It doesn't come with the loud noises of a, you know, 1,000cc motorbike.
Over my 6 years coming now to the TT Zero, attitudes have definitely been changing. It's noticeable in the paddock that people's attitudes are no longer, I don't want to be associated with those electric bikes. They'll just walk past and say, oh, they'll be the future. And we're trying to push for that now, and they'll only be the future if we can keep on racing. I think there is an air of we're a novelty act with a one lap. There's lots of talk about how to improve the TT Zero as a spectacle, and it could be two laps, it could be more manufacturers, it could be a whole host of things the organisers could do to try and make it more attractive. But they're doing the right things in working with the teams and seeing where the teams can be, because they can't push it further than we're able to keep up with it, kind of thing.
One man who is keen to see the Zero race move to the next level comes from the island's construction industry. He told me it's probably going to become the most important race in the Tourist Trophy.
The Zero race has to be the future. We need to push it more. We all need to get together. We were the first in the globe to do this race. So we really need to be continuing with the pioneering. Alan Clegg, director of SCS and Ballacreagher Cornmill. In my view, I think long-term, everybody that goes round on the TT Zero emissions race needs to be using renewable power for their source of energy. And I think, moreover than that, we need to be looking at different ways of, not just having battery packs. You know, let's have other zero emissions fuels, you know, whether that be biofuels or even hydrogen. There's no reason why we can't use other fuels for zero emissions.
After helping the University of Brunel team charge its bike using hydropower at his Salmon Lake Centre, the very same water that flows off the Mountain Mile, Alan linked up with Kez from Cast Energy to see how renewables could form part of the standard for the TT race.
One thing that the Isle of Man is very, very good at is, because we've got our own legislation, from a macro point of view, we can change things to suit our economy. Well, I think we could also do the same with our rule changes for this zero emissions bike race. I mean, why are we just stuck with one lap? Why aren't we hot swapping batteries and doing two laps and, you know, creating incentives for R&D companies to come over here and develop their machinery? Because it really is a world stage. So I really think that we should be using this as an R&D opportunity to not just develop the sport, but develop the Isle of Man, you know, and let's have that smart island mentality.
Someone who very much agrees with the vision of SES is the leader of the Isle of Man Green Party. In the wake of the recently declared climate emergency in Tynwald, Andrew Langan-Newton believes the island should now be using TT Zero as a platform to pioneer green technology. Though he was particularly incensed when one MHK made this suggestion during the debate on the climate crisis.
So, you know, just to take one example, are we going to ban the TT? Okay, it's gone silent. Are we going to ban the TT?
It's a red herring. It really is. And it's really, really terrible to raise it in such an important debate. But I think the greater point is that how can we use the TT to put forward a positive message to the future of the Isle of Man?
Following Tim Baker's comments, to increase the level of competition and technological advances, Mr. Langan-Newton believes the race would benefit from prize money.
The Isle of Man government, the TT organisers, did that in 2009 when they first introduced the zero emissions race, and that was brilliant, and they set a £10,000 target for the first rider to get an average lap of 100 miles per hour, and that was brilliant, and that was really progressive and gave an incentive for commercial enterprise, for people to take part and go, oh, electric bikes, that's the way the world's going, and there's a financial incentive to me investing in that. Let's take a stand and let's go in the race. And I would like to see the organisers and the Isle of Man government and sponsors come forward. There are already some great sponsors in SES and SCS, Stuart Clegg Services, I believe, who are putting in support in various ways into the race. But other sponsors and the Isle of Man government, TT organisers, could set financial incentives. Positive message of zero emissions racing is going, look, we see where the future is and we see where the positives are, and we're going to take a chance and we're going to run with it. Now, we're 10 years on this year, 10 years since the first electric race, and could you say the Isle of Man hasn't maybe necessarily taken advantage of it and we're still maybe treading water? Well, maybe, because other races around the world, you've got Formula E and you've got Motor E, are now becoming these global names in this, and the Isle of Man has to catch up with that in a way, and I think one of those ways could be the financial incentive for racing.
It's an absolute fantastic opportunity, it really is. I just wish there were more bikes, really.
Yeah, I appreciate the technology, I appreciate the development. I just wish there was more here, in all fairness, you know what I mean?
I think everybody does.
As the class has only managed to field an average of 8 riders per year, Mr. Langer-Newton made the point that the TT Zero race might be treading water. I put that to the Enterprise Minister, Lawrence Skelly, whose department is responsible, alongside ACU, to develop the TT brand.
Lawrence Skelly, Enterprise Minister. It's not probably not the numbers that people may expect or desire from that point of view. But what you have seen is massive advancement in technology. And that's what this race was all about, is promoting the technology. And it was perhaps a little bit ahead of its time now. But you have seen some tremendous changes. And I think when it was first started and the first lap was like nearly at 80-something mile an hour, it took 26 minutes to get around the course. Within 3 years, they broke the 100 mile an hour record, and the petrol bike took over 50 years. And that's again demonstrates, I think, how rapid the advancement is in terms of technology, and that's what we want to promote. Use our strongest brand, the TT, to promote new technology. In this case, clean technology, which of course is very relevant.
In regards to sort of facilitating that clean technology, I think a number of the teams have sort of pointed out, well, there's no prize money, so perhaps it's not necessarily taken seriously. Is that something that's going to be reconsidered? That, you know, perhaps adding a bit of a price tag to this adds more of an incentive?
Well, yes, that is one element. And I think to break the 100-mile-an-hour record, it was a £10,000 prize money. And of course, that does incentivise to a certain extent. But what we do understand, and you've got sort of big names here in terms of Mugen, but you've also got universities here testing their technology. And what you want to do is to try and have an environment where they can all do that. And I think back to those universities, I think Nottingham has been the most successful, and Prince William visited their tent last year, which is great, fantastic promotion for the work that they've done. But we've also had MIT here from the US, and the global interest in this is really quite significant. So what we want to do is see if we can retain this race, because there is a cost to this, and putting it into the program, a logistics issue as well at the same time. But I do think, you know, we have arrived now after 10 years an acceptance of TT Zero, because you must think when it did start and the slow lap and no noise, no smell, and you know, it's not quite as exciting perhaps as the other bikes might be perceived, but it is all about that technology advancement. It is a grueling test bed, you know, for that technology. And you've got the flat, you've got the mountain, you've got the towns, you've got the countryside, etc. So getting around that 37 and three-quarter mile course is really quite an achievement in its own right. So I say we will review, like we do review, all the activity around TT, and we'll continue to keep this under review as we go forward.
Aside from the racing, it's became clear that zero-emission technology and the philosophy behind it points us towards a very necessary future. Perhaps then TT Zero can play a role in accelerating innovation in the midst of a climate emergency. But given the thousands of people who visit the Isle of Man for the TT every year, I ask the Minister how the government will plan to balance our ambition of becoming a carbon-neutral island whilst hosting such a monumental motorsport event?
Very good question, actually, and certainly the one which I've been challenged with, you know, after this discussion has sort of really gathered quite a lot of momentum. Does this mean the end of TT? As far as I'm concerned, no, absolutely not. And it's quite interesting, really, because we did an exercise. We looked at a carbon offset, and we were working with a company here that involves in blockchain, which is really quite interesting, too, because that's an advancing industry here for us on the Isle of Man. And the offset of it was very, very minimal. So that's concerning the amount of motorcycle race laps in the petrol form. So, yes, it is something we're conscious of, and we will be looking, you know, as I say, we did already do a carbon offset for the race here. Didn't actually publicise it, but because it was an exercise, we just wanted to trial and see how it worked.
What are Mugen's thoughts on this?
As far as motorsport's concerned, I think EVs can be the saviour of a lot of areas of motorsport. For example, motocross tracks. Every motocross track that I know is in danger of being closed because of noise, and certainly restricted because of noise.
And for Kez and Ryan at Duffy?
The awareness is growing. You know, like Ryan mentioned before, you go back a couple of years and people really, they weren't taking it as seriously as they are taking it now, although it's not where we want it to be. The level of awareness is definitely growing. So, yeah, I don't know. We just don't know. We're doing our bit, and if other people join in, fantastic.
It's going to be a snowball effect. It's been 10 years slowly building up, but there will just be a year where it just takes off, and we want to be there that year offering what we've learned over the previous years and helping other people access the great sport.
I believe that it now needs a real push. We need more teams. I think even Mugen would agree with that. I spoke to the guys at Mugen in the paddock this year, and even they said, we need more competition. Now, whether we can get some kind of a Tesla bike out there or you know, any of the other big manufacturers, whether BMW would do one. But let's not forget, we've done 10 years of this, so we are at the forefront. And we don't just want to sit back now, we now need to push on to the next step and make it happen.
The chequered flag is being prepared as Michael Rutter, bike number one, he's never lost an SCS TT0 race. He crosses the line, and have we got the record? 121.909 miles per hour is a new SCS TT0 lap record.